Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast. Now here is our lead pastor, Greg DePriest.
This is Advent week 3, and the focus on Advent weeks is on third week is joy. Joy is something that the season is to display. We have bright lights, we have beautiful decorations, we have bright colors. Everything is focused on joy. I titled today The Expectation because we're talking about the journey from Bethlehem or Joseph's and Mary's journey. Life is a journey, and I'm convinced the journey is as important as the destination. If it was not that important, then we would just be zapped out of here the minute we come to Christ and are saved. But the journey is incredibly important. It's through the journey that your character is forged. Your integrity is revealed. You as a person become displayed of who you really are and your character. All of that is made true and right through the journey that we're on. So life is an incredible journey, and it's what you make of that journey. Some of you through this past year may have lost loved ones. It's a time of year when people who have experienced loss, they're all of a sudden the memories of going through the holiday without that loved one, it brings pain to your heart. It may be that you're in a financial situation that you're challenged by. And I just want to say this, if you're here today or if you come to Christ Fellowship, if you're struggling through this season financially, you come to us. You come to me or one of the staff, and it will be kept confidential and quiet. But we, as a church family, want you and your family to experience joy, and we want to be a part of the joy for your family. But this may be a season whenever you're going through all of those emotions. So you say, how do I navigate that? How do I walk through this season of my life? How do I go through? Last year, my family was together. I've gone through divorce this year. My family's not going to be together. The kids are split up. We're having to navigate all that. How do we face this season through all of those journeys and through those challenges? Well, Joseph and Mary, they experienced all of the stuff that we experience. We're talking about a man and a woman who had to be inconvenienced to bring about the greatest thing, the greatest person that would ever be born on the first face of the earth. They had to go through much inconvenience, much pain, much loss. So I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9. And I want you to just kind of follow along because this is a familiar scripture, but it always has great meaning to me. It says, but there will be no more heavy hearts for those who were suffering. In the past, God allowed the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali to be put to shame. In the future, he will honor Galilee, where there are those who are not Jews live and where the road to the sea is. It is on the other side of Jordan. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. The light will shine on those living in the land of dark shadows. You will make the nation great. You will give them great joy. They will be glad before you as with the joy of gathering time, as men have joy when they divide the riches taken after a battle. For you will break the heavy load from their neck and shoulders. You will break the power of those who made it hard for them as at the Battle of Midian. For every shoe of the soldiers in the battle and every coat rolled in blood will be burned in the fire. Now verse 6, for unto us a child will be born. To us a son will be given, and the rule of the nations will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Teacher, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his rule and his peace upon the throne of David and over his nation. He will build it to last and keep it strong with what is right and fair and good from that time and forever. The work of the Lord of all will do this. This scripture in Isaiah was written at a very interesting time in their history. It was when they were divided as a people, as a nation. You had the northern tribes and you had the southern tribes. So here we find that a family is fighting. They're all out of the family of Jacob. And here they are struggling and they are fighting and they're against each other. And then the northern tribe got Syria to come with them. And they began to plot against the southern tribe of Israel. They're at this precarious time in their history. And they're wondering, why is this going on? Why in this time? Why are we being oppressed? And all of a sudden, the prophet Isaiah, he speaks to them, and he says, well, you don't see, there's something happening inside. And he gave them a spirit of expectation. He gave them a spirit of hope that allowed them to begin to look and say, maybe something good is in our future. I laugh around here. You know, I tell people when pastors ask me, say, what's your evangelism philosophy? And I tell them it's really simple. Happy sheep have sheep, you know. Well, if you go to our nurseries, you know it's true. We got more little babies around here. And it's like the water is contagious. But I look at the young families and the joy. And I see them talking. And here's what they'll say. We are expecting. And there's this great joy in the smile because there's a spirit that comes with expectation. There is anticipation. Well, Israel was at this time, and the prophet Isaiah says, what you don't understand is something good is going to happen in your future. What you need to do is start expecting it. Now, you can look around at what's happening, and you can find a reason to complain. You can look around, there's somebody going to be against you, and there's somebody that doesn't like you. Circumstances are not going to always be in your favor. That's called life. But what you've got to do is look to the future. And you've got to start saying, what can I expect? What is the anticipation of my future? So what does it mean, expect it mean? Having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen. Especially something pleasant and interesting. That's really what you're doing. You're expecting it. So the prophet looked at them and he said, I want to raise your spirit. I want you to know, and I want to give you a hope that in your future, there's something that you can look forward to. In your future, you got to realize I am at work. Now, why is that important for you as an individual here today? I am a firm believer that in every one of us, God is at work. I don't always see where God's at work in my life. I look at it and I say, wow, the process is amazing. I don't necessarily like the process, and you probably don't either. But what we do know is that God is always at work. That's the beauty of being a Christian. As a Christian, you don't look and say, well, everything's bad going on around me. I look at it as everything is good going on around me. I think about this little lady in Mississippi that I grew up with. She called my sister up. And she said, Kay, I need to talk to you about Gregory. And that's what she always calls me, is Gregory. And my sister said, sure, what do you need to talk about? She said, someone needs to talk to him. He just thinks everybody loves him. And I do. I expect it. Now, why? Could have plenty of reasons, and you can too, to expect a different outcome. But I don't expect that. I go to life and go to people and wake up every day saying, God's going to put me with people who love me. He's going to put me around people. Does that mean that that always happens? No, but I believe it anyway. I am expectant. Expectant. So in your spirit, you have to have that spirit of expecting. The Christian experience is based on faith, but life itself is based on faith. You say, well, I'm not sure about this whole Christianity thing. I want to tell you, you got to have faith to get up in the morning. You got to have faith to ride in a vehicle, especially if you're riding with me. You got to have a lot of faith, but you've got to have faith to get in the journey. So life is about faith. So when you look, what is faith? Well, for the person who has questions, and there's nothing wrong with having questions, we know this about the Bible. Number one, it tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly about people. I'll never forget one time Nick came to me, and he was in high school at Dobbins Bennett, and he walked in, and he said, Dad, and I said, yes, Nick. He said, I don't really know that I believe there is a God. I said, that's good. And he said, what? I said, that's good. He said, it's good that I'm not sure that there is a God. And I said, yes, that's good. He said, why is that good? And I said, the fact that you're asking the question is what I like. I don't want you to believe in God because I believe in God. And I don't want you to believe in God because your mom believes in God. I want you to believe in God because you believe in God. And the fact that you're asking questions is all that I want to happen. I just would hate for you to go through life and never ask the question. But if you're asking the question, is there a God? Then I say, yes, son, keep asking it, because I trust what is on the end of that question. That's one thing we try to do with our young people here at Christ Fellowship. We encourage them in the classes. We're not here to see you be the perfect Christian. We know that probably is not going to happen. We know your pastor and teachers, and so that's not going to happen. Here's what we want to do. We want to embrace your questions, because we believe at the end of your question, there is a God, and he will give you the answer. And you will find a place in your life where you look and say, now I believe. But there's nothing wrong with the question. So we embrace the questions. You know, of all religions, there's more evidence scientifically and historically for Christianity than there is for any other religion. So you look at it and say, wow, well, how does this happen? Well, faith is the only way a person can live in joy. There's too many things that happen in life for you to live in joy otherwise. So you've got to have faith. You've got to wake up every day and say, I'm choosing today to have joy in my life. For the believer, joy should be a constant manifestation. It's just something that should emanate from your life. It should be something that happens in you. And you, when you're around people, it makes them smile. They want to be around you. They want to embrace you. Because why? You have joy. Joseph Campbell says, find a place inside where there's joy, and the joy will burn out the pain. Whenever you look at your life and just say, I am going to live in joy, I will find that little place that brings me joy, and I'm just going to camp out there. I will camp out on that spot, because I believe if I camp there long enough, eventually that joy will burn out the rest of the stuff that comes at me in my life. I can still have joy. And the joy of the believers in knowing that God loves us so much that he can't let us go. I love knowing that God loves me so much that he can't let me go. I was talking to my staff one day, and I was just talking about how the Bible, it gives us the full story of people's lives. It doesn't show us just the highlights and the good spots. It shows us the full aspect of a person's life. And there's a guy in the Bible named Judah. Judah was one of the sons of Jacob. In fact, Judah, there was a whole tribe established from Judah. The name Judah means praise. And so Judah he established this family and this tribe of praise. And it is from Judah that David come. It is also from Judah that Jesus Christ came. He did not come from the tribe of Levi, came from the tribe of Judah. Judah was chosen by God. He was a man of God. But Judah had some weaknesses in his life. And I would tell my staff, I said, you know, the interesting thing is we look at these people with a glossy look and we say, wow, they were really something. But if we go deeper into Scripture, the Scripture shows us, let's look at the ugly parts of their life. And why does God want to show us the ugly part? Because he's wanting you and I to see that even when we look at ourselves and doubt ourselves and we say, how can God love me? He wants to tell you, I still have confidence in you. I still believe in you. So Judah, he had this family. Back in those days, if your son married and then your son died, then the daughter-in-law would marry another brother. So Judah had several sons, and one of his sons died, and none of the other brothers would marry the daughter-in-law. And so here she was, she's by herself. She did not want to stay at that place in life. But she knew something about Judah. Judah had an area of his life, apparently the family knew about. Families know more about us than we usually think or know. And Judah had an area of weakness in his life. When Judah would go to town, Judah would visit a part of town that he really shouldn't have been visiting. And down in that area of town, that's where the prostitutes were. So she dressed up like a prostitute. She went down there. And when Judah came to town, she knew he was coming to town. And when he came to town, she was there. And all of a sudden, she appealed to him. And Judah says, yes, you're the one today. And so Judah gets with her. And before he leaves her, she says, give me something to remember you by. And the Bible says, and Judah gave her his staff. She took his staff, and later they came to him and they said, "Hey, Judah, do you know your daughter-in-law's pregnant?" Judah's like, "Man, we got to deal with this issue." So he brings her to him and he says, "Hey, you're pregnant." And she says, "Yes." And he says, "You know what happens? It's time for the stoning." She said, "Yeah, but you know what? I have a gift for you." He said, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, do you recognize this?" And she handed him her staff, his staff. And he's like, "Wow." It went on. Now listen to this. She is part of the bloodline of Jesus. She is. How is that important for you and I? Because there's moments in our lives where we feel so unworthy. How can God still love me? And if we go in denial and we do the big play act thing and act like, no, but the truth is, if he ever set his hand upon you, he never changes his mind about you. That is the thing that gives you joy. In the moments of your life when you're questioning it and you're wondering, saying, "Man, I don't even know about me. How can anybody else know about me?" He's saying, "I don't change my mind about you." Now, when we understand that about this incredible God, that he loves us so much, that regardless of the stupid stuff we've done, he still doesn't change his mind about us, that brings joy. That has to bring a smile. That has to bring. See, the joy of the believers in knowing that God loves us so much, he can't let us go. That's in verse 7. He says, "There will be no end to his rule and his peace upon the throne of David and over his nation. He will build it to last and keep it strong with what is right and fair and good from that time and forever." And here's a third point. The Holy Spirit is given to the believer in order for joy to be internally inspired. If you're looking for joy to come from everybody and everything else in life, you'll probably be miserable. You were given the Holy Spirit when you said, "I believe in Jesus and I believe he died for my sins." The Holy Spirit was given to you. And now then he was given to you to inspire you from within. I love the story of David. The Bible says that David's men were going to turn against him. And if you read it in 1 Samuel, it says, David was desperate. His soldiers were so upset over what had happened to their sons and daughters that they were thinking about stoning David to death. But then he felt the Lord giving him strength. In the King James Version, it says, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord." There are moments in your life and times in your life when nobody else can do it. You've just got to do it to yourself. You've got to say, "Today I'm going to be happy. Today I'm going to choose to have joy. Today I'm going to get up and I'm going to smile and I'm not going to let anybody change their mind about me." It's got to be something that is internally inspired and internally generated. I told this story and it's kind of funny, at least it is to me. I tell this story 20 years ago. I was pastoring. We were just a small church on Donaldson. And I was pastoring and I got this 3-page typewritten, single-spaced letter. And that letter was telling me about why I would never be a successful pastor. And he said, the number one thing was, I laugh too loud. And he said, your laugh is way too loud and you'll never be a successful pastor with a laugh like that. And then he went on to tell me that my jokes weren't funny. Now, that made me mad, but anyway. he said, your jokes aren't funny, your laugh is too loud, and he gave me 3 pages of why. Well, I didn't say anything, and I took the letter, hurt my feelings, and I threw it away, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be okay, and he'll get over it. 3 months later, I get another letter. So I call him, and I say, hey, we need to talk. And he said, yes, we do. And I said, let's talk about this. I said, you put a lot of time in this. Yes, I have. And I said, well, we need to do something about it. You bet we do. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. He said, what's that? And I said, you're going to find you another church. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to quit laughing. I'm going to always get on your nerves. And I said, so you just need to find another church. And I told him this. I'll never forget. I said, look, I'm not going to change who I am to grow a church, because I'm not going to go through life miserable. I'm going to be happy. And if all I can pastor is just a small group of people here on Donaldson Street, then I'm going to be a happy pastor. I'm still going to laugh loud. I'm still going to have fun. And that's just who I am. But I'm not going to change for you. Ended up, he came to church. He had keys. He threw his keys at me, and that hurt me, my feelings again. And so 20 years rolled by. 2 weeks ago, I was to meet with a group of Methodist pastors. They've asked me to speak at a men's conference in March for the Methodist Church. And they said, will you meet with us at Perkins? And I said, sure. So I go to Perkins, and we walk in, and we start laughing. And I'm laughing, I'm cutting up, and I saw a couple from our church, and I went over, and I sneaked up behind her, and I blew in her ear, and she jumped, and that meant, I thought that's funny. And I sat down, and they looked at me, they said, you know, that's exactly why the church is growing, because you're laughing, and we heard you laughing when you walked. And their whole conversation of these pastors was about me laughing. And I'm sitting down, and I look up at the table right beside us. And there was that couple. And they jumped up from their seat. And I said, hey. They said, hello. And out the door they went. And I started laughing again. And the pastors, they said, what's so funny? I said, God's got such a sense of humor. I think he's hee-hawing up in heaven right now, because he set this up 20 years later. And that brings me to my final point. The experience of joy, to experience joy, you have to put the past behind you. You just got to put it behind you. There's going to be things that's going to happen to you. There's going to be people that hurt your feelings. There's going to be things in life that's going to happen. And you got to put it behind you. Everyone's been hurt. Everyone has been betrayed. Everyone's been disappointed. And everybody's been forsaken. You have to decide if you want to live in the past or if you want to change your future. See, Joseph and Mary were willing to be inconvenienced because the promise was greater than the problem. They were willing to be inconvenienced because the birth was greater than the burden. It was a fact. They were willing to be inconvenienced because the future was greater than their failures. You gotta say, the future is greater than my failures. And they were willing to be inconvenienced because the inspiration was greater than the inconvenience. They were willing to be inconvenienced. You see, they traveled to Bethlehem, but they still had joy. They traveled to Egypt, but they... It's a fact. They traveled to Jerusalem, but they... And they traveled to Calvary. They still had joy.